Good morning, everyone. I'll open the House Subcommittee on Workforce Development Thursday, May 7th, 2009. And today we're going to have an informational session about student leadership organizations. And I'd like to thank Vice Chair Huffman for his information about some of the activities that your organizations undertake, and for bringing this to my attention so that we could schedule an information hearing. I'd like to thank also our presenters today, Nikki Claussen, Dick Sherman, and Michael Blade, and welcome the three of you. And if you'd like to come up as a panel or individually or however works best for you, please come forward. And since you're coming up as a panel, if you'd just decide among yourselves who goes first, second, and third, I'd appreciate that. Welcome and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. Representative Witt and Representative Huffman. Thank you for inviting us here today to talk about something that's very special to us, which is Skills USA and student leadership organizations. My name is Mike Bade, for the record. I'm a graphics teacher and Skills USA advisor at South Salem High School. I serve as the current chair of the board advisors for Oregon Skills USA. And for the past 25 years, I've been a chapter advisor, contest technical chairperson, national education team member for Skills USA. I'm here to speak to you in regard to the many benefits which students receive from their involvement with Skills USA and other career and technical student organizations to prepare them for careers in the industry. Our Skills USA students take their academic and skill knowledge and apply what they've learned in our career and technical programs into the respective competition areas. Skills USA, as well as the rest of the CTOs, have competitions which give students opportunity to test their abilities. Competitions are designed to test students as if they were entry-level positions in their particular technical areas. The Skills USA organization is an ever-evolving student organization, which is on the leading edge of issues related to preparing students for career industry. Driven by the needs of industry, Skills USA has partnered with industry to develop the workforce readiness system. In this system, Skills USA and industry partners have identified entry-level job requirements for each of the Skills USA skill competitions. Students competing in the National Skills USA Leadership and Skill Conference who meet the workforce readiness proficiencies will receive recognition for their high-level achievement, deeming these students as entry-level, ready for by the industry partners and Skills USA.
Can I interrupt?
Please. Vice Chair Huffman.
Yes.
Thank you. Mike, this is part of when you wrote the letter,
yes.
You started identifying some of these programs, and that's what really kind of piqued my interest for this committee, mm-hmm. because it's a lot of what we talk about and deal with in preparing students for the workforce,
yes.
getting them prepared. And so as you go through here, if you could kind of identify for Oregon,
mm-hmm.
how many students statewide, maybe how many individual schools, and it doesn't have to just be you, but any of you, if you could kind of keep that in the back of your head to bring that forward, the schools participating, not by name, but the number of schools and the kind of the regions that are covered,
mm-hmm.
and the number of students involved, and kind of what they learn hands-on wise that really do prepare them in some of these courses,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be career readiness or DECA or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I know you have a copy of this, and I didn't know. I was asking if I should read it verbatim or not. You know, the workforce in your packet. Just since we take a break there, in your packet, I've made a copy from the National Skills USA website. It's the pages of Skills USA Workforce Readiness System. I'm referring to this document here. When I'm talking about this workforce readiness system, which I think is a lot like Oregon is trying to develop similar things to create accountability from our technical trade and technical programs. And so this is kind of the document I'm referring to. They've worked with industry to develop these guidelines to help chapter advisors in their local states to bring their students up to more readiness. And so When they come to the national competition, they're ready to go, and then they would in turn be ready to go to the industry when they leave our programs.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Mike, how do you go about doing that? For an individual student, do they, if you could start at the basics for me so I could understand, do they enroll in a class, a particular class at their high school, or okay. is it middle school, or is it just high school, what grade level,
okay.
and kind of walk me through what they learn?
When any student in our high school is eligible to, if they're enrolled in a trade or technical career program, they're eligible to be long C skills, let's say. We have local chapters. In each chapter, there's an advisor, and we recruit. When our students are going through our programs, we kind of try to identify students that are kind of talented, and we kind of nurture them to try to maybe belong to our Skills USA organization. Skills USA itself teaches leadership and job readiness skills. One of the other things I mentioned in my letter here is a thing called the PDP, Professional Development Program. Which is a series of packets. It used to be a series of thick books that the kids we would use with our students to help them teach them employability skills, things that they would need besides their technical skills on the job. And then they've developed that system even further now, where it's actually online. But as our students go through our programs, you know, we have our technical things that we teach the kids, their technical trade.
That's us.
Their technical skills, and then intermixed through our program, we try to teach the employability part, you know, what they should be doing when they get on the job, you know, meeting employers, you know, prepare them for job interviews and such. And so we try to intermix the Skills USA into our trade and technical programs. Once they register to become a member, then we hold meetings at our chapters. And then at the meetings, you know, we have a series of things that they do. We have a series of things that each chapter does. We have different committees for each chapter, including a program of work where we do. I'm tongue-tied today. They learn how to fundraise, conduct meetings, organize meetings, recruit other students. And so there's a myriad of different things that we do at our chapter level. And then ultimately, we kind of hone and refine the students all year long into competing into our spring leadership and skill conference, where we have students coming from around the state. This year, there were 685 students from around the state who competed at our state conference. There were 42 secondary and post-secondary, but Skills USA is secondary and post-secondary. So once they leave the high school, they can also compete as a post-secondary. So there's a very large component in post-secondary. There were 64 contest areas that students competed in. And so also included in your packet is a list of the state winners from Oregon who will be going on to nationals this summer to compete. And so... you know, all the student leadership organizations are very similar to Skills USA, where they have a leadership component. And then, anyway, I don't do that as much as I should. Anyway, teaching what I teach, I have so many irons in the fire. I really believe in the Skills USA, and I've done it for 25 years. I don't do it as well as I should. Nikki is a product of our Skills USA. She's a student competitor. She's a national officer for Skills USA. She's advisor, and now she's our state director. And so, anyway, I think one of our shining examples of student leadership organizations. But these students eventually, you know, when they leave our programs, will have the leadership skills and the technical skills to go out and become the new workforce that you guys are looking for to run our country. And so... also included in your packet is a letter from another one of those students. This is Andy Richter.
Andy Elliott.
Who is a graduate from South Salem High School who submitted a testimonial of what Skills USA has done for him. You know, I have seen kids that can't read and write, cannot communicate, join Skills USA, and I've got them running offset presses. I've got them you know, they're running an offset press. I'm taking them to industry people to get training. Well, they won the state contest. I've taken them to national contests, and they are right in there with all these other kids. And so, yeah, we'll turn these kids' lives around. It gives them a home. It gives them a place, a group of kids that have similar interests. And, you know, it is amazing, as big as our group is, we have so many diverse occupation areas that we teach these kids. It's not just like FBLA or DECA where it's one kind of content area. You know, I can't remember, how many are we up to now?
At the national level, there are over 90 different competition occupational areas, from drafting, welding, automotive, to cosmetology, culinary arts, child development. And those competitions, those areas, are eight-hour contests where you actually go in and draw the house or bake the cake or, you know, fix the car. It's not, oh, I'm going to take a test over it. Industry representatives are there acting as judges, coordinating the competition to say, this is entry level. This is what we expect our employees to do. And even though you're a senior in high school, how well do you measure up? And that's also how the workforce readiness system works, is it was written by industry to see if students do meet that requirement or meet that level of entry into that industry.
Nikki, for the record, would you please introduce yourself?
I'm sorry. My name is Nikki Clausen. I'm the State Director for Skills USA Oregon.
Thank you very much.
Question for Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Have you found Skills USA throughout the state, have you found a decline in participation, or is it on the increase, or what? Because we tend to hear that a lot of the programs that may be identified with Skills USA, the auto mechanics and maybe the ag programs or the industrial arts or technical programs or whatever those might be, the baking the cake, you know, those classes have, the home ec classes, you know, a lot of those have tended to go away over the last 15 years in a lot of our schools. As those programs go away, have you seen a decline in participation in Skills USA?
Could I answer that one for you?
Certainly. Please identify yourself.
I'm Dick Sherman, the former state director and a former technical instructor and an adjunct instructor at community college. The answer to that is the programs tend to go away because of economics or teaching staff. I've seen several programs go away because they couldn't find a teacher that was qualified to teach that program. We have a shortage of teachers in technical areas. I've seen programs go away simply because it was a budget consideration. Our numbers have remained quite stable for some length of time. We've been adding chapters. We lose them every now and then. But mostly it's coming out about even for us in Skills USA. The other organizations in our group at the Student Leadership Development Center are seeing about the same kind of participation, except the forestry group. We had the Associated Oregon Forestry Clubs, which is this year dissolving because of lack of participation and because of budget considerations at the state level. So we're losing the forestry student leadership organization. It is being folded into FFA. Okay, so we'll have a change in the way we offer opportunities to young people there. As far as participation in FFA, in agriculture, you know, they're holding pretty well even also. So except for programs closing, we're not seeing a decline in memberships. We are membership organizations, all of us. That means a student pays a membership fee to belong to our organizations. So it's not for everybody. It's most of the chapters, and the chapters that I knew, do fundraising to pay that membership fee. So students really don't have an out-of-pocket cost for that piece.
Mr. Chair,
please.
In the absence of Representative Schaffler being on the committee, I would like to say what a shame it is that we would be losing the forestry aspect of Skills USA for a state that was for 100 to 150 years known as a logging capital and natural resources capital. To hear that is not good news.
The folding of AOFC into FFA, into the agriculture arena, is still going to allow the forestry training to happen. The difference will be in their separate leadership training organization, okay? Because we've historically had a team of state officers from the forestry people. Now they'll be expected to compete with the agriculture state officer teams, which are another competition for them to do. The forestry people were not part of Skills USA. The forestry people are part of the Student Leadership Development Center. Okay, and the Student Leadership Development Center is the funded element that you've seen in the budget places. You've seen funding a center that is the home base for all now six of our student leadership organizations. We have six organizations like Skills USA. We've got DECA and FBLA and HOSA for the health occupation students, FFCL for the family consumer thing, okay?
You've gotten a brochure that explains what all of our organizations are, as well as the annual report from last year that explains more information.
Right.
As well.
So Skills USA is one of those six now. The forestry group was number seven, but it was an Oregon-only piece. All six of the present student leadership organizations are national affiliated. That means we've got a national organization, and for Skills USA, we have over 300,000 members across the country. We're in all states right now. Mm-hmm. Our headquarters is in Virginia, right close to the national capital, and that's what allows us to have a national conference. And at our national convention in June, we're looking usually at 15,000 to 16,000 people at that convention in Kansas City, and we do all these contests on that day. And Mike is referring to the readiness test. What the industry has done for us is develop what they call a cut score, and they're simply saying that if a student can in this performance test can reach that level, then they consider them entry level ready for the workplace. And then if they get over that, then they're competing for medallions and other prizes. But a student gets a really nice certificate that is endorsed by all the industries that develop that cut score. So that people know when that student goes to a job interview, they can put that certificate down and say, look, I've met the qualifications that the industry has developed to be this entry-level person. That's the crux of our job workforce ready program, is being able to get students to that level, to the entry level.
Have you heard of the new career readiness certificate? We've had a couple of two pilot programs, I believe, around the state, and just within the past month have really launched the effort statewide, or that's the plan for this summer, for the career readiness certificate. The governor signed off on the first couple of certificates, but they're bronze, silver, and gold,
yes.
I believe. There are three levels of certification. Have you had any discussion yet about beginning to incorporate that and having your seniors maybe do the CRC before they launch out, maybe in addition to the what you already do? And I just say that kind of as a preparatory, because we're trying to guide, with the assistance of industry in Oregon, guide into the career readiness. And so I just wanted to make sure that you were on the train
We are very aware of that happening. I, quite frankly, as a former director, I'm a little sad that we didn't get together on this sooner, because of what we're doing are a lot of the same kinds of things. The difference being, I think, for us is we're only serving a membership organization. So that means we're only touching 42 schools, or 49 schools, I guess, in the state. And obviously there are a lot more than that. We feel like we'd like to be able to get together with all of the entities to be able to make some kind of a coherent system that works together to make it happen. We're also doing third-party assessment in our contest. Our contest then become the test for that student's completion of a technical program, so that when they have completed their technical program in high school, they then use our contest as their third-party assessment, which gives them the credibility to move on and be able to say, I've accomplished that, which is similar to the certificate you're referring to. Historically, they've been using the NOCTE test and those kinds of other nationally available industry standard tests that they buy. You buy the NOCTE test for $40 per person and test the student on those criteria, and then they have accomplished that. For us, we're saying if you buy your membership into SkillsUSA, we'll put you through the contest for a lot less money, you've accomplished the same thing. And so we're working on that assessment piece at the state level to be able to give our people that credibility also.
I've also worked to align our competitions with the graduation requirements, both the essential skills and the career-related learning standards and career-related learning experiences, showing how we help to meet them. I put that we conditionally meet all of them because I don't know what happens at the individual chapter level. And as a former teacher, many of these things were accomplished, but in our state competition, not all of them specifically are. So I have included that, which also lists what all of our competitions are, and then included who our state champions will be going to nationals to compete to represent Oregon, the top 2% of all current technical education students across the nation. So I included that for you as well.
Do you do any... what's the word I'm looking for? Career counseling type of stuff for students to try to help guide them into either higher ed or or careers?
Absolutely. Our instructors that are making themselves available to be SkillsUSA or DECA or HOSA advisors are a special breed of people who are not just there for their 8-to-5 kind of experience. These are people that put out a lot and spend a lot more time than a regular teacher would to operate a chapter in their school. And they're always counseling. That's what they do. That's what they do very well. I would say you spend a lot of time doing that counseling.
Mike mentioned our program of work that we offer, and as a chapter, they develop their own program of work, going over employability skills, parliamentary procedures, going through community service, ways and means, public relations, and through that process, we encourage individual schools to bring in business partners to speak or to do career counseling, those types of things, if they have their balanced program and complete all 7 activities.
And before I forget, just a note, you're in about 25% of the schools. It's a floating number depending on who you talk to, but in round figures, about 197 school districts in Oregon. So if you're in 42 to 49.
Right. Okay. The Student Leadership Development Center serves in excess of 10,000 students in high schools. Now, that's not a large portion of our high school population, obviously. But it is an elective kind of thing. And the students that are in technical trade programs or career education programs are elective. Those are elective programs. If they want to go into business or marketing or health occupations, those are all elective programs. So the student has to want to do that first. I can say another piece about the value of students being in those situations, and that is, and I heard this a long time ago from one of our forestry instructors. He said, we're in the salvage business. Okay. Mike suggested that he'd had students who couldn't read very well, who went through the program and developed their skills. Some of our programs at the local level are taking a student who is literally ready to walk out the door from that school and be gone. And be able the charisma and the training and the aura of that teacher is able to take that student and say, hey, wait a minute, I've got something that you might be interested in here. And they're salvaging students, keeping them in the school, putting them through a program, and coming. And as a longtime state director, I've had the distinct privilege of being able to take some of these students as state officer candidates and train them in such a way that they complete school and are on the success track coming out the other end, not just
exactly
surviving.
Where I was headed, Dick, wondering about if you're able to see those turnarounds, kids that are just at the cusp of dropping out.
That's right.
And you salvage.
If you look at my testimony on the piece that I put in there, I've got untold stories, just a huge, you know, inventory of stories about kids in those very situations where we've taken them, been able to turn them around, keep them in school, and for lots and lots of them, give them something successful to work with for the rest of their life, mm-hmm. not just keep them in school. That's the nature of the programs that we deal with.
In your packet, we also have a written testimony from a student who graduated from St. Helens, like Mike had said, and it shares some of his story and some stories of those that were in his chapter as well, and where he is now working in metals manufacturing and being successful. So there's one student perspective for you.
I'm very interested, too, in some of the stories that you may have heard from employers and what value they place on the certificate. If I'm a student and I'm applying for a job and I present the certificate to the employer, what value does that employer place on that certificate?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Employers are learning. Okay, this is a new enough system that the employers need to learn that certificate's out there and what value it is. That, in fact, there has been some training and some rigor put into that system so that they can put a high value on that. We used to be able to say, well, just because I was in SkillsUSA, I'm a valued employee to you. And we found that lots of employers didn't know what SkillsUSA was, so it didn't really have a lot of value to them. So it's going to be a learning process, even for the state level certificates, to know that this is available to them to make it go. I suggested in my testimony, written testimony, that employability skills, people skills, interpersonal skills are very important to the workplace. I've had employers tell me, in fact, that you just send me somebody that wants to come to work here and can stay working here and can be nice to other people, and I'll train them in their skill area. And I thought, boy, that's a testimony that we need to deal with. That's what pushes a lot of us into leadership training, is the fact that we need to do that in our school.
You reminded me of something about what you said. Do you have a relationship with Boley and the apprenticeship programs, the youth apprenticeship programs and things like that? And if not, Representative Holvey could plug you in, but this sounds like something that would be just, I was reading just briefly down through Andy Elliott's that you had mentioned from St. Helens, and he received an associate's degree from PCC in machine manufacturing technology, and he's working in metals manufacturing, you had said, and I just wondered if he had had any type of relationship with any of those programs, some of the professional programs offered through Boley.
Well, the answer is probably not. We made overtures to Boley years ago to try to get us into their, you know, to be in a cooperator kind of situation, and it worked some. As far as apprenticeship programs, yes, we work with them. I don't think any of them have adopted us. And as far as Mr. Elliott's situation, he works with, he came out of St. Helens High School, and that's one of our schools that I know that the instructor there came out of industry to teach in that class. He was also a former SkillsUSA state officer. He came back out of industry after many years and is teaching that program, and he's got contacts in all different kinds of metal trades areas. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Elliott's opportunity did touch the apprenticeship people, mm-hmm. but he was not in a bona fide apprenticeship program as such. He made it another route to that same level.
Nikki, I would encourage you, there is new leadership through Brad Avakian, the commissioner at Boley, and Steve Sims is very excited about sharing the opportunities, and you know, I would think Steve would be more than happy to meet with you Am I speaking out of turn, Representative Holvey? You know more about it than I do.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Thank you. I mean, that's a good segue. I was just sitting here listening, and you know, sometimes it is hard to get hooked up with apprenticeship programs because they have, you know, certain requirements, but they do have pre-apprenticeship programs and youth apprenticeship opportunities. And, you know, notwithstanding any of that, I think you provide a very valuable segue for people into all industries. But, just listening and reading briefly, and I apologize for being late, it seems that, you know, what you really need to be careful of is that you don't want to be seen as in competition with or undermining the skill standards of apprenticeship, especially in part of your testimony. You're talking about the stimulus dollars coming in the construction industry, and these people need to be ready to go to work. The policies of federal public contracting are to encourage the skilled trades through apprenticeship, and so if you're seen as trying to go around that, it is not a very good working relationship, and I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm saying that I think the opportunity to work together is probably a much more successful model. Mm-hmm. But notwithstanding that, I could share or hear some of your frustration, perhaps, of not being able to get engaged with certain apprenticeship programs because they do have certain requirements, and much of their requirements is predicated on the economy and having job opportunities. Mm-hmm. So that is an issue, but notwithstanding that, I think there's plenty of models out there that could engage you through and to cooperate with apprenticeship programs as being sort of your organization could be a segue into those programs for large part. Certainly there's construction industry people out there in the residential world who don't use apprenticeship programs that aren't connected with public construction dollars. But yeah, I think you need to be cautious of how you play in the construction industry because there's potential for an adversarial relationship there, and I would endeavor to, if I could help you, manipulate that a little bit. I'd be willing to do so to try to, you know, I can't promise you anything because I don't control them, but certainly I think there's opportunity for your organization to be working more closely with apprenticeship programs, at least in the construction industry and some of the manufacturing apprenticeships as well. But anyway, I was actually a judge at one of your Skills USA competitions down at Lane Community College.
Really?
A long time ago, actually.
We do have those connections. Don't get me wrong. We have those connections, and we feed a lot of young people into apprenticeship programs. Not a lot. Some. Mm-hmm. You know, we're preparing them for that avenue also. We do have cooperators. The IBEW does our electrical wiring contest. You know, mm-hmm. They're there. And so, you know, we have those connections. We also have connections with the management people also. You know, AGC has been involved with us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new program at the ACE Academy out in East Portland that probably will be coming on board next year. One of their construction instructors has been doing our carpentry contest for a long time through mm-hmm. the OBC. And
I probably know him.
John Martin. His program is absolutely right in line with the kinds of things that we do for competence performance testing.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're going down the right path. Just offering that is,
thank you.
You know, from the my perspective anyway, that you know, you just got to be careful of negotiating.
Right.
That industry specifically, especially when you get into commercial and public financed construction.
I've been at this long enough, sir, to know that you have to work all the sides mm-hmm. equally together to make it work. And, you know, I've had my run-ins with local union people, and I've had my run-ins with local management people, hoping to be able to bring them all together. And sometimes gets a little rough out there.
I've been in the same shoes.
Yeah. And on that same note, you know, we've got military people,
mm-hmm.
and we work very closely with the military, and because they're doing training in a lot of different areas that we do training in, and so they're obviously looking for our young people also, and they've been very cooperative in working through our program to be able to make it more beneficial for them.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to offer some helpful hints, maybe, because you don't want to be seen as undermining apprenticeship programs and turning out workers into an industry that don't meet the skill standards of other programs.
Right.
So.
Well, if there's new leadership in Boley, that's information that we need to capitalize on too.
Mm-hmm. Representative Dembrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following up on this idea of partnerships, which I think is really important. I think that from what I'm hearing, the service that you provide is just really important in providing a kind of wraparound atmosphere for these students. I think too often people are focused exclusively on what happens during the school day or, during the regular classes and think in those terms. But, I think so much of the learning, so much of the motivation, so much of the sense of engagement comes after school, actually, in after-school programs like yours. And just earlier when we were talking about the at-risk kids who are, salvaged through a program like this, I mean, we hear that argument made a lot in terms of athletics, right, where, it definitely provides a really valuable service in, creating a sense of camaraderie and gets kids motivated to stay in school. But a program like yours does the same, and I think is really a really important piece, I think, to not only keep kids in school, but to get them continuing on the right track into higher education and a profession. One of the things that we have done as a committee this session is to recommend the creation of a new, and I don't even know what we're calling it, the coordinating council of bringing together people from the high schools, community colleges, industry, the trades, to talk about ways to, enhance our career technical education in general. Mm-hmm. And I think we amended into that bill a slot for, and I forget what we called it, but it was an organization that is working in mentorship or, somehow is, I forget how exactly it was delineated. But that may be something we might want to look at in terms of your organization, perhaps somebody from your organization taking that spot.
Absolutely.
Because, again, that's exactly the kind of partnership that I think we want to look at, especially if your organization is already sort of crossing the education world, that is, that incredible chasm that seems to exist between K-12 and higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
You're already negotiating that. And so the more I think we can do that, the better. The other thing, going back to Representative Hovey's idea of, a closer alignment with Boley and the trades, I don't know if, I see in your list of sponsors, I don't see any of the trades there as actual sponsors of your contest. I don't know if they have been in the past, but that seems a very logical kind of, point of initial entry for them.
Do you know, sir, that there are some... Interestingly enough, there are some friction points out there. I had one of our local building supply companies lined up to do the carpentry contest, and I was going to invite the apprenticeship people from Benton County to also be judges, and the manager of the store told me, we're not a union shop, and we'd rather they not be there. Okay. So I didn't get to put that apprenticeship program out of Benton County on the list this time, so because the building supply company was a major sponsor in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to work through those things and keep as many people happy as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, our hope through this coordinating council is going to be to, you know, tear down some of those silos, I think, that exist, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward.
I also know that oftentimes some of the trades go through periods of recruitment, open enrollment, that sort of thing, and sometimes, frankly, have a difficult time with their recruitment, particularly among minority candidates. You probably already have, but if there is a way for you to maintain connections with the apprenticeship trainers of the various unions, it might pay dividends for both programs. So, mm-hmm. I'm concerned about what you referred to, Dick, as you know, those tools that oftentimes we're able to retain students in school, and your programs are a classic example, as Representative Denbrough just points out. I've talked to a number of the superintendents in my district, and virtually to a person, they are so thoroughly, completely, totally worried about the loss of many extracurricular activities and what that will mean in terms of their ability to retain students who otherwise wouldn't be in class. And so many, many times, you know, maybe it's shop, maybe it's choir, maybe it's the stamp and coin collecting club, maybe it's who knows what, is what is responsible perhaps for retaining that student, or as you pointed out, I think with the individual from St. Helens who found himself and went on to success, and others who perhaps come back from your program to teach, we have the potential of losing all of that simply with losing our extracurricular activities. And so I share your concern, because the superintendents in my district have impressed upon me how critically important sports and all of these other programs are to being able to not only salvage but to retain, before we even get into the salvage aspect. Mm-hmm. So I think that we always need to remember that maybe the Greeks had the right idea that you educate the whole person. Mm-hmm. And when we're able to touch people and their different interests, we never know just what that may mean. And I think probably all of us can think back to an individual teacher who maybe not a mentor, but oftentimes they are, but at least made a difference in our lives and made an impression upon us. And we have to maintain every opportunity that we possibly can to make those impressions upon students. It's critically important to that development. So, and I think, as Representative Denbrough pointed out, this is the engagement. These are the points of engagement that are oftentimes responsible for a student completing high school and going on to a successful career, mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. So, with that, other questions or comments? Panel members, do you have anything further that you'd like to share with us this morning?
Well, we'd like to thank you very much for inviting us here to be able to do this explanation. Could I say we are passionate for our organization?
Yes.
Yes, I would say so. We've been in it a long time. I've been at this for 35 years plus, and at all levels. And I think these kind of programs are our educational program. This is what education is all about. Mm-hmm. And we get to see it full-blown. And like teachers generally, you know, you're driven, you're motivated because you see students blossom and grow. And it's so exciting to watch that happen.
So well, I was able to experience that last year when I went to the Future Farmers of America annual banquet from the Astoria High School area. And I had no idea what a comprehensive program those folks offer. And the public speaking ability of every one of the folks that was in that program absolutely blew me away. I'd like to see them out on our House floor giving speeches.
You probably do.
And House floor. I was so impressed. Tomorrow night I'm going back for my second annual FFA banquet dinner. So absolutely tremendous programs. And thank you for everything that you do. Your passion, I'm sure, has in many instances positively impacted a number of people. And that's critically important. Thank you. Thank you all very, very much for giving back to the larger community as well as your own communities. Thank you very much for coming today and sharing your experiences with us. We appreciate it very much. With that, I'm going to close the informational hearing today.
Thank you.
Wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything for the good of the order for the subcommittee today? Keith, we are meeting Tuesday, yes? Tuesday we're not meeting. Okay. Subcommittee members, if you'll just stay attuned to the notices, we don't have any bills right at this point, so when we do, we'll send out the notice. Seeing, hearing nothing additional, we are adjourned.